Hello and welcome to the first podcast of the State of the Environment for the Department of Environmental Quality. I'm your host, Todd Parfit, Director of the Wyoming Department of Environmental Quality. We started this podcast to keep those interested in the state of Wyoming's environment informed on important programs, projects, issues, successes, and those things that relate to the well-being of Wyoming's environment and the economy. Over the next several months, we'll talk with each of the administrators of the DEQ, and the divisions are the Water Quality Division, Abandoned Mine Lands, Air Quality, Solid and Hazardous Waste, Land Quality, Industrial Siting, and Administration. So today, I'm joined with our Water Quality Division Administrator, Jennifer Zygmunt. Jennifer is a graduate of the University of Wyoming and also a Hobbs School alum. She has been with the DEQ for over 20 years and has been the administrator for the Water Quality Division for the last 3 years. She has a great deal of knowledge and expertise in the water quality arena. And welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you. Pleased to be here today.
Jennifer, there's a lot going on in the water quality arena these days. So what are the top priorities that you're seeing for Wyoming?
Yeah, I'm happy to talk about our priorities. There absolutely is a lot going on within the state and at the federal level. When we look at state priorities, one of the top initiatives that we are working with in the Water Quality Division would be carbon sequestration. Carbon sequestration, also known as geologic sequestration, simply put, is capturing carbon dioxide and injecting it underground for long-term permanent storage. There's a lot of parts and pieces in terms of carbon capture and sequestration. The DEQ's role is to make sure that the carbon dioxide is injected in such a way that we're protecting underground sources of drinking water. And we do that through what's called our Underground Injection Control Class 6 program, which is a federal program under the Safe Drinking Water Act that Wyoming has received primacy for, meaning that Class 6 wells, carbon sequestration wells in Wyoming, are permitted by the DEQ instead of EPA.
So, Jennifer, talk a little bit about how we became a primacy state for carbon capture and storage, and maybe talk a little bit about, are there other states that have received that primacy?
Sure. Yeah, Wyoming is the second state to have received primacy for Class 6 underground injection control wells, and that's something that we're very proud of. North Dakota was the first state to receive primacy, and most recently, Louisiana recently received primacy for Class 6 wells. Wyoming has actually been working on carbon sequestration and a regulatory framework for carbon sequestration for quite some time. In 2008, the first statutes were passed that gave Wyoming authority to pursue regulation of carbon sequestration and the injection permits through DEQ. And the Wyoming legislature also passed statutes related to pore space and unitization. Wyoming leadership formed a work group early on to talk about carbon sequestration, associated risks, and how to manage those risks and liabilities, and many recommendations from that work group have now been memorialized in statutes and rules. So Wyoming applied for primacy and received that primacy in 2020, again, the second state in the nation to obtain such primacy.
For you talked about the legislature, and the Wyoming legislature has been supportive of pursuing the Class 6 carbon capture and storage primacy. It's a big part of the governor's energy strategy. So maybe explain a little bit about why it's important that the state has primacy versus EPA implementing the program.
Sure. Yeah, and that's a very good question. And primacy is very important because, as we like to say, Wyoming knows Wyoming. We do feel that we have the best knowledge of our state and can issue protective permits in a more efficient manner than the federal government would be able to. And we're seeing this start to play out. We have issued our first three Class 6 permits to construct. We issued those in December 2023. That was a major milestone for us. And it took us approximately 10 months to issue those permits to construct. Whereas at the federal level, we're seeing EPA taking upwards of 5 years to issue these Class 6 permits. So we think we can do the best job in terms of protecting our environment and making sure these projects are done in a responsible manner while also supporting industry with timely and efficient permitting.
Jennifer, you mentioned that we've issued 3 permits, which was a big milestone for the program, and we have other applications in-house. What do you see in terms of new applications coming in over the next year, and what's driving the interest in carbon capture and sequestration?
Yeah, the interest in carbon sequestration has been high and continues to be high. We did issue the first 3 permits, as I mentioned, and currently we have another 6 applications in-house. It's 1 application per well, so currently we're reviewing information to issue permits to construct for another 6 wells. And there's many reasons why interest is high in Wyoming for carbon sequestration projects right now. First, Wyoming is well-suited geologically for these sequestration projects. Secondly, again, Wyoming has worked hard to set up a regulatory framework that supports carbon sequestration. And not only does it have environmental benefits, but it's an important economic initiative. These projects create jobs, and it helps support the all of the above energy approach that the state has, and helps achieve carbon reduction or carbon emission reduction goals. And we are seeing quite a bit of new interest. This year alone in 2024, we are expecting upwards of 30 new applications to be received for Class 6 wells. So part of the reason also for the high interest in carbon sequestration is due to federal incentives. Under the 45Q tax credits, carbon sequestration projects can get $85 per ton for carbon sequestration, and $180 per ton if it includes a direct air capture unit or a direct air capture part of the project.
So, Jennifer, what types of industries are we seeing with the interest in carbon capture and storage?
Sure, yeah. We're seeing interest from many different types of industry, and it really just depends on where the project is located and where the carbon dioxide is sourced. There's various types of industry within Wyoming who are reaching out to these carbon sequestration companies for project interest. And there's projects that, as I mentioned, are interested in pursuing direct air capture, which is building units that can pull the carbon dioxide directly out of the atmosphere and sequester that carbon dioxide as well. So we're seeing interest from a variety of sources. Again, DEQ's role is primarily to make sure that that carbon dioxide meets certain purity requirements. We don't regulate the source, and that's where there's important partnerships between industrial sources and the companies who are sponsoring these carbon sequestration projects.
So you talked about partnerships with industry and those that are interested in carbon capture and storage. Who are the other entities that might be involved, like the Oil and Gas Commission, and what's their role in all of this?
Yeah, we work with many different partner agencies. And again, there's a lot of moving parts and pieces with carbon sequestration projects. We do work extensively with the Wyoming Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. They are responsible for the use of pore space, the underground pore space, where the carbon dioxide is sequestered, and a process called unitization associated with the pore space. We work hand in hand with them because DEQ does not regulate the pore space, but we can't issue authorization to inject the carbon dioxide until the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission has issued a unitization order for the pore space. So it's very important that we're talking with each other, and we work extensively with other state agencies, such as the Office of State Lands and Investments, when state lands are involved in these projects. And with the extent of federal lands in Wyoming, it's also very important for us to be working with the Bureau of Land Management on these projects and making sure that there's good communication with our federal land management agencies.
Yeah, and I suspect that we're also working with the University of Wyoming's School of Energy Resources and the university's, the Wyoming Geologic Survey, which is housed at the university. University.
We are. Yeah, they are. They're both important partners. And for example, with the University of Wyoming School of Energy Resources, we're partnering on a grant that provides some opportunities to build a better site characterization database to help understand the reservoirs where these sequestration projects may occur, with the goal of helping permittees have information that will help streamline our permitting process even further.
So Jennifer, with the implementation of the Class 6 UIC program, the carbon capture and sequestration, how is that program funded with the Water Quality Division?
Currently, the program is primarily funded with state general funds. The federal government does not provide federal funding to state primacy programs for Class 6 wells at this time. There are also fee opportunities through the program. For example, statutes authorize DEQ to collect application fees for each application we receive, and those funds are used to support staff's time in reviewing and issuing the permits. We also collect an injection fee during the life of the project when carbon dioxide is being injected, and that money is accumulated in an account that is a special revenue account, and the intent of those funds are to support the state's monitoring and management of the site in what's called the long-term stewardship phase. After the project is closed, injections have ceased, reclamation has occurred, the plume is stabled. At that point, the state takes over management of the site, and the funds that we've accumulated in the account from the injection fee will be used to make sure the state can do its job.
Talk us through the process of what getting a permit entails, and is there more than one type of permit under the UIC program that is required before they can start injecting into the subsurface?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it is a lengthy permit process. And, you know, in general, we have a very robust set of regulations and a good permitting process in place, again, to make sure these projects are done in such a way that we are protecting water quality, but also making sure that we're working effectively with industry and streamlining that process to the extent possible. The process really begins with early and often communication with the permittee, and we definitely encourage them to come in and talk with us as soon as possible as they're contemplating a project so that we can provide them with more information, walk them through our application and guidance materials. And then we kick off the process with a pre-application meeting, where we review the preliminary steps, and then the permittee submits the application, and we start a review of that application to make sure that it meets our regulations. We'll work with the permittee, go back and forth with comments, and get additional information to make sure our rules are met. And then once our review is complete and the application is technically adequate, we will write a permit to construct the Class 6 wells, and that's the first step. That permit does go to public notice. There are many opportunities for the public to learn more about that permit and provide comments to us on the permit. And again, if the project meets all the regulations, we will issue the permit to construct. And that allows the permittee to go out and actually drill and construct the well. They're not authorized to inject yet. What they'll need to do as part of drilling and constructing the well is to collect more information to verify some of the work that they did in their initial application, make sure that we have the best information on hand about where the carbon dioxide plume will go and how it will behave. They'll need to set up a monitoring program to help verify where the carbon dioxide is going. And then once we have all of the information that we need to authorize the injection, and again, making sure that our rules are met, we will propose a modification to that permit to authorize the permittee to start injecting the carbon dioxide underground. And during that step, there'll be another opportunity for public comment, and again, for the public to be involved in the process and learn more about the project as it goes along. And then once the permittee is authorized to inject carbon dioxide, they can begin doing so. They will have monitoring requirements throughout the life of the project, and DEQ staff, our work is not done once we issue the permit. From there, we're heavily involved with overseeing the project, We will oversee the drilling and construction of the well. We'll review monitoring data and reports as those come in. So we're very involved with the permittee once injections begin throughout the life of the project. And then following carbon dioxide injections, which could take 10 to 20 years, there's more time involved with making sure that the site is closed, the plume is stabilized. The permittee will need to show through modeling results and data that the plume is stable before we'll close out the site, release financial assurance, and terminate the permit. So it's a long process, and it's important to realize that these are long-term projects, probably 50 or more years for one carbon sequestration project to be completed from start to finish.
Okay. So as part of that, one of the big issues that I'm sure that our listeners want to hear about is safety related to these injection sites. Not only safety and protection of the water quality, but also ensuring that you don't have any of the CO2 not controlled and getting back to the surface. Can you speak to that and what are, and I just also want to mention, we have incredible staff in this program looking at these applications, and I have great confidence in the work that they do. So anyway, I had to throw that in there because I don't want to not mention that, the quality of work that we do have that comes out of that group, all of our groups. But
well, I appreciate you mentioning that because, yes, we do have a very, very dedicated group of professionals in the Class 6 program that are working very hard to stand up a successful and effective program.
Yeah, so they look at the safety issues. Can you speak a little bit more to, when we get to closure, how do we know when we're done? So when they're done injecting, how long they have to monitor, and then from there, when they can transfer liability to the state?
Sure. Yeah, so first I'll start off with some context to make sure that people understand when we're talking about injecting carbon dioxide for carbon sequestration, we're talking about very, very deep formations that the carbon dioxide is being injected to. Typically, we're looking at about 10,000 to 15,000 feet where the formations are where the carbon dioxide will be injected. For comparison, a private drinking water well is typically on the order of 100 to 800 feet. So again, we're talking about injection in very, very deep formations. And they have to, in summary, there's a lot more technical work that goes into it, identify formations that are below the lowermost underground source of drinking water. And they have to inject into formations where there are seals to prevent that carbon dioxide from migrating where it shouldn't be going. And they also have to make sure that the injected carbon dioxide is not going to push other underground fluids into a source of drinking water. So we look at both. We make sure that the plume is staying where it should be going, and that in terms of looking at the whole area of review for the project, that it's not displacing other fluids into aquifers that are being used for drinking water, and making sure that the well is drilled appropriately, meeting regulations so that carbon dioxide can't escape from the formation where it's being injected.
Okay. So what about outstanding issues that we're still wrestling with or that are unanswered at this point relative to pore space, which I think we're ahead of the game compared to many other states, is that we as a state, have defined who owns the pore space. But that doesn't mean that there still aren't some questions around that with federal land ownership or mineral ownership, and also other states, where they may not have a developed program, but because the injection is close to the state line, that creates some challenges for us.
Yeah, those are good examples of challenges that we're still dealing with. And I would absolutely say that Wyoming is ahead of the game in terms of the regulatory framework that we've set up, not just for the Class 6 program, but for the statutes that have addressed pore space and unitization. The federal government still has work to do there. And other states have not undertaken the same regulatory development as Wyoming has. And so, yeah, one of the biggest questions we have is we see projects being proposed in areas of the state where the plume or the area of review could cross into another state that may not have comparable regulations to Wyoming. We've got some questions there about how to make sure we're appropriately permitting those projects and that there's some forward thinking between the states about how this process is going to work to make sure that legally the process is done right. For DEQ, you know, again, we do not regulate pore space. That falls under the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. But why that question is important for us is because we can't issue our Class 6 permit and an authorization to inject until a unitization order is in place, and that's per statutes. So it raises the question, if pore space will be used in another state, how do we make sure that those requirements are met and, again, that we each state is protecting its own interests? So it's an evolving question and one that we're working with our neighboring states on, as well as UW, to look into, along with the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission.
Okay. Well, carbon capture and sequestration is a critical component of the all of the above energy approach that the governor has undertaken. And we're clearly, through the good work of the Water Quality Division under your leadership, are ahead of the game compared to other states, certainly with respect to applications that have gone into EPA, as you mentioned, can take up to 5 years or more. And we're seeing for our applications maybe a 6 to 8 month time frame is what we're targeting for both the construction permit and for the injection permit. So with that, any closing remarks?
Again, I just want to thank...
Words of wisdom.
I just really want to thank the dedicated staff that we have who are working on this issue. They've put in a lot of extra time. Again, I think it's an initiative that Wyoming should be proud of, and I think we have a lot of opportunities here to support this important initiative to the state, support the all-of-the-above approach to energy development, and make sure that Wyoming's natural resources, including its water quality, are protected.
Jennifer, thank you for joining us today and sharing the information on this important topic for the state of Wyoming. This is the first podcast of the State of the Environment.